In today's episode, Mike manipulates some cups, I try to explain an internet controversy, and Samantha wishes for just a little more murder. This is Gone Home. Samantha, you get to pick since you have the joy in your life.
I guess we can do Gone Home.
Okay. Mike, you good with that one?
Heck yeah.
All right. Let me get my notes pulled up on it.
Well, say this. ...
I didn't start with a well this time.
He's even got it typed out in his well.
Yes, every well is put in my stellar notes that I have for each and every game we're going to talk about here on Funsphere Game Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
And as our audience can tell, it's been a little while since we've recorded together because these two schmucks can't even keep the bit going.
No, I was thinking about how I don't want to wear these headphones anymore.
I can see it, one side is already skirting further and further back on your ear.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable.
That's the whole reason I wear a hat, is just because it puts the band of my headphones off of my actual skin.
I have a very small head and comparatively large ears. Like, I don't know if they're actually larger than normal or if it just looks that way because of my head. So no over ear headphones work for me. They're all garbage. They all hurt.
Have you tried raising them? Because you're using them on the smallest. Just let there be more room above your head so that there's less tension. Or would that create more tension by doing that? We're about to find out.
Yep.
It's smashing my skull. Nothing?
No, I'll just have... If I pull it down, then this one's not on my ear as much.
Well, I'm glad our audience sat here for headphone adjustments for a good solid minute and a half. That was good. That's quality entertainment that we
provide.
That
was not a minute and a half. But they'll get to know us.
And our preferences for headphone settings.
Yeah.
This year, 10 seconds feels like a minute and a half.
It certainly does. So, what are we talking about today, gang? I think we're talking about the game Gone Home.
Something none of us will be doing this Thanksgiving. Oh!
I live at home.
I own my own home, so I always go home. Mm. And the past tense of going home is I have gone home. But
I'll be staying here.
Nice. Well, I guess I should give us a rundown of the game. What do you think? Yay, nay?
I think that's
swell. If you feel like it, yeah.
Oh, okay, I appreciate that, guys. All right, Gone Home is a first-person exploration video game developed and published by the Fulbright Company. It was first released in August 2013 for Microsoft Windows, OS X, and Linux computers. Followed by console releases for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in January 2016, and Nintendo Switch in 2018, and iOS in 2018 as well. Let's see here. I played the Xbox One version. Which version did you guys play?
Switch.
Switch for both of you. Okay, not surprised. All right, so the Fulbright team was responsible for Bioshock 2's Minerva's Den DLC. One of those DLCs, which is arguably better than the game it is attached to. I know that, Mike, you liked that DLC a lot, right?
I did, yes.
Yes, I liked it as well. Let's see here.
People would know that if they listened to our Bioshock episode.
It's true.
Shame on them.
So Fulbright started like ballparking Gone Home as they were developing Minerva's Den, because they really liked the concepts of ideas of basically uncovering the narration in a non-linear progression by searching the house. Like I said, they really liked it. It was critically praised at release. Several outlets used the game as an example of video games as art, a conversation that we've had a few times here on the podcast.
Talking about Stardew Valley, right?
We are not talking about Stardew Valley.
Big Stardew update coming soon.
Really?
1.5. Yep. Banana trees, more in-game content. Looks like a beach farm. Oh my god. I'm recording. I knew this was going to happen.
I can hardly contain my excitement for update 1.5 of Stardew Valley.
Well, you're going to have to play it because we're going to talk about all the
new
stuff.
Oh my god, Josh is dancing right now. I've never seen him dance, and he is dancing on the screen.
He's dancing to the Bugsnax soundtrack. Caro Caro Benito. I can't wait for that game.
You're the only human being alive.
I was really. It's already out, isn't it?
It's coming out very soon, I think.
I was really hoping for some kind of reaction when I made that joke about getting you the vinyl for Christmas.
Yes. So getting back to the game, what are our impressions of it?
It was real chill. It was nice hearing all the juicy goss from that family. I guess it was a lovely little like the point is I get I kind of wish there had been some murder.
Same.
Like I wish there had been some dark secret and not just like a nice little slice of life thing. It was neat, but like come on, a little murder.
Well, we'll get into this a little later. I have a dark theory.
Ooh.
Of stuff that went on with the story. But I agree with you. I think that they juked a J on us. Yeah. It was a big like, hey, everything is going to be creepy to nope. 98% of the objects that you interact with do absolutely fucking nothing. And also the story is not what you'd expect either. Which, I mean, you could say that's fun. Like, they got us. But yep. Definitely left me wanting more, though I did enjoy the game. I have a lot of criticisms, though I ultimately enjoyed it.
Okay, yes. I'm glad to hear that reaction from the two of you, because I thought this was going to be another Mike and Sam dig a game, and Josh is kind of on the opposite side. I'm going to say indifferent towards this game. I don't dislike it strongly enough. I don't really care for it all that much. And I think a lot of the criticisms labeled at the game are valid. And there are actually a lot of criticisms and something this game gets lumped in with that is completely invalid against it. And I'll get into that a little bit more, a little bit later. But the biggest thing that this game gets criticized for is being a walking simulator. I was like,
it's a drawer opening simulator. Excuse you.
I thought that's what Heavy Rain was. Whenever they introduced those controls where you have to actually... I don't even remember what they did. I just remember thinking, like, this is the most obnoxious way of opening a drawer. I get that they tried to make it more realistic, but... On a PS3 controller, really? Just let me hit X.
So I think this game is of a time and place. I don't know what it was about, like, the year 2013 for games... And to kind of be to Mike's point, like there was a lot of like games of going around a house and in a very spooky setting. And I think this game totally like marketed itself as, hey, there's something spooky going on in this house. I mean, they didn't do it totally strong, but I remember at the time I was like, oh, this is another one of those games. But this one did have a more pleasant ending to it, I'll say. Like I said, I don't know what it was about that time and place, but like the game of games being like, let's go through a house and open every drawer and read every letter was extremely popular then. Like, I think this is around the time.
It was always popular. Like they've had little surges throughout the years. Like that's some of my fondest memories of the old, like DOS CD-ROM, like early CD-ROM games are all the point and click adventures.
Okay.
Like I like being able to go through and
so
find
this is
stuff. I just think that like if you're gonna make the world so interactive that every fucking cup or anything you can touch and interact with, you ought to be throwing out a little more secrets. Like there's very little that you can find in the game that actually moves the story forward. It's just not enough of a I don't think it's enough of a balance. Like if you're going to be able to interact with that stuff, you've got to reward the player for going through that tedium, because that's something that I was guilty of as I continued to manipulate the cups and all these items that I knew I'd been burned on 100 times before, but I thought, well, maybe this one will trigger something.
And that's funny because you're a guy that, like, I know that you play, like, the Fallout series and stuff like that. And
yeah, I'm the person that plays that game looting every single box.
So I was like, I don't know why he would be so surprised by that then.
Towards the end of Fallout 3 and 4, I get to the point where I'm hoarding so much in my storage units at home that the game freezes. It takes forever to open up my drawers because they have so many items in them.
I was going to say, it's just it freezes because it's a Bethesda game. There we go. All right, so I guess, do we want to kind of go over the plot of the game a little bit, or like our reactions to it?
Of course.
All right. Go ahead. So, Mike, I want to ask a question. This was your suggestion for us. Did you know anything about the game prior to playing it on the Switch in 2020?
No. This was a Deadly Premonition situation where I kept seeing the name in passing, seemed to be positive things. And then when I saw it on sale, I looked it up and saw, oh, it's the people that made Minerva's Den. That's cool. Oh, it's a point and click. I really like that. And, oh, it was however cheap it was because it was on sale. And the rest speaks for itself.
Okay. What about you, Samantha? Did you know about this game prior to trying it before it was suggested?
No, I'd never heard of it.
Okay. So this was kind of a leading question that I had there, because I do remember this game when it got involved in a controversy in 2014.
Ooh.
Like it got involved in a much larger controversy, and I think it's a very unfair controversy it got lumped in. Does anybody remember Gamergate?
Oh, yeah. Man. That's Gamergate is pretty much how Q got started.
Actually, I think you're correct. It was a launching point for that. And man, in the divisive world we live in now, it's kind of like almost quaint to look back at Gamergate and see all the crap that got started from it. And it's still to this point, I'm still not 1,000 or like 100% sure what started it or who started it or why they started it. But
why
I do
don't
remember
you tell the uninformed like me what the hell you're talking about?
Okay, so back in 2014, and like I said, this is as best I understand it under explanation. There was a young lady that was a game journalist that was in a relationship with a developer. They broke up. The developer started making some serious, basically airing dirty laundry, making some accusations that, I don't know, I guess you would say that like indie games and stuff like that were getting more praise and stuff like that because they were catering towards a community.
There was an exchange.
The SJWs.
Yes. So, and then it's like, so then the video game media of the time took a real strong stance of like, calling out the people that would necessarily disagree with, we'll use the term SJWs just for simplifying it here. And they also took
What is SJWs?
Social Justice Warrior.
Okay.
Okay. So, but then they started taking a lot of shots at just like the game industry and game players as a whole, even people that weren't necessarily agreeing with those type of people. And it just became like a big internet dust up for like 3 or 4 months, and people got super butthurt about both sides of it. And certain games like this were used up as like, how can you give this game such good reviews and stuff like that? It's a walking simulator. And you only are praising the game and giving it Game of the Year awards and stuff like that because of its message about a young lesbian being the focus of the game. Instead, but like I said, it's one of those things, even to this day, I still don't fully understand it. And that's probably why I'm doing such a piss poor job of explaining it to you.
It just became an excuse to be sexist, racist, homophobic, everything.
Yeah, a lot of people on both sides of the issue used it as a platform to really like reinforce their values,
personal beliefs.
Yeah, and like most things, people are usually in the middle of this stuff, not on the far end of the spectrums that got the loudest, that were arguing and stuff like that. So, like I said, that's where I kind of became knowledgeable about this game. And then when I played it in like 2016-2017, because it was a free game with gold, and I was like, why did people get so upset about this game? I was like, I just don't understand it. So,
because they're babies.
They are.
They're just babies. That's it.
Alright, so
I've never understood it, and I never will understand it. Like, people that have these really strict belief systems and like it has to be this way and not that way, why can't you just, like, if you know you're not gonna like something, avoid it. Just let it exist somewhere else. You can live your entire life and never have to be around that thing that you don't like.
It's like if you're used to everything being made for you, and then suddenly it might not be made for you, you get upset like a baby.
That's true. But and then the other side of that argument was that, you know, game developers were like, well, you're all terrible people because you play video games. And if you don't like this particular, or the way that the area is changing, you're all terrible people. And it's like I said, that's too strong a condemnation on the other side. It's like, most people are perfectly fine with games like this and games like a Call of Duty that comes out every year. They just want to enjoy
those
the media.
People weren't the ones making noise, so then they wouldn't have been talking to them in the first place.
Yeah, like I said, it was a whole like stupid dust up, internet dust up.
I was gonna say, even if they transition solely to games developed for like a more cultured society, they still have 4 decades worth of games that were
and
less inclusive that they can fall back on.
I mean, and if anything, out of all of this just came the idea of a lot of developers are going like, all right, we'll put both options available for you. You can play the game however you want. I know that Cyberpunk, for example, decided to remove just genders, then it's like, well, you can still make a regular guy or a regular girl if you want.
Oh, not I thought that you were suggesting that there's like a white supremacy option.
No!
You know what? If it ever comes out, we'll find out. That's a topical joke because of the time frame. All right, so I guess
you're a racist. Challenge mode.
Oh, well, all right. So getting back into this game at some point, I don't know what we're going to try. I guess I'll steer it.
I mean, we never actually talked about the story. You want to start
okay.
there?
Yeah, sure. All right. So just a quick synopsis of the story. On a very specific date of June 7th, 1995, 21-year-old Katie Greenbrier returns from overseas to her family's new home, and she finds everybody's gone. So, being that the house is entirely new to her, and
they're gone, and she's at home.
She's home.
That's the story.
She's gone home. You start wandering around the house, and you find the story about what is happening with.
Well, it's important to note that it's a house they moved into while she's been gone. So this is a brand new environment.
And I've got a funny story about why that specifically came up. So
would you need to explore every room of a house you already knew?
Well, not that. Why you're the sister is the issue.
Oh.
Okay, so basically you go around the house and you find out what's happening with your sister, Samantha.
Not me.
Not our Samantha, the game's Samantha. All right, so going through the house, you find letters about her budding relationship with her friend, Yolanda Lonnie DeSoto. And you get the history of their meetings, their love of Street Fighter, which was awesome. And also like that they were very specific about which version of Street Fighter they were playing at this time. I remember playing it and I was like, wait a minute. Was that Super Street Fighter? Was it out yet? I was like, yeah, it checks out.
Wait, so while we're on the topic of that, I noticed that there are several Super Nintendo cartridges that you run across. And a few of them are Nintendo games, like Zelda. Were they in the original, or was that a Switch
exclusive? I think that's Switch exclusive, because the Xbox One version, besides the mention of Street Fighter by name, all the other games are, like, let's just say, generic enough not to get them sued.
In the Switch version, they're all actual Super Nintendo games that you find.
Oh, okay.
And as soon as I saw them, I thought, there's no way that came out on the other consoles.
Like I said, I think they both... I didn't look into it or see any notes about it. I don't think they got Capcom's permission to use Street Fighter in the names, but I think because you're discussing it at the time, you're okay to use it legally. Like I said, but they didn't even try. Like, there's no actual pictures of Street Fighter.
They have the cartridge in the version I played.
Huh. I guess that's probably because Nintendo has such a good relationship with Capcom. They got away with it. Yeah, there was no... In the Xbox One version, at least, I can tell you, there's a move list, and like I said, the name Chun-Li is dropped, and the name Street Fighter is dropped, but there's no actual cartridge. There's no actual... Super Nintendo there's wires where it was hooked up, and like I said, there's a couple of cartridges you will find, but they are generic enough not to
The console's gone in this version too, because they say in the story that she had to give the system back to her friend.
Okay,
that's a neat little Easter egg.
Yep. All right, and like I said, so the sister goes around the house finding notes, basically catching up on what's going on with her sister and her big life, and why she's missing from the home. But also, it's hinted at some other family members have got some other stuff going on too, which I think Mike will lead us into in his theory. I want to hear his theories before I start spouting my own.
I'm worried that mine's going to sound too dark now.
No, mine are pretty dark on the matter too. So basically,
I also went down some dark paths.
All right, so basically... So basically, you go around the house, you find out your sister, she kind of comes out to her sister via these notes and via the story, you hear about the reaction of her family.
Well, they start it to where she discovers herself in this time.
Yeah, and I think, I want to say the one thing I really like about this game is I think that stories like this do need to be told in games.
Yeah.
And I think it's told very well here.
Agree.
So, but there's just
my gripe was not with the story. It's just not, it's not where I saw the story going.
No, I thought this was a horror game when I first heard about it until I did more research into it.
And it's just like the items. I think I shared a similar experience. Like, I kept waiting for there to be more. And then I was like, oh, okay. It is solely about this now.
They should have put a tooth in the, in a cereal box. That would have been weird.
See, maybe they were intentionally pulling like an Andy Kaufman, because even up to the end of the game, you go in that stairwell, like, or the little, what's the little Harry Potter, like the closet under the stairs.
Yeah.
And you see where they've performed like rites.
Yeah, there's a pentagram. It's a little altar.
Like I said,
but even that is like a, it's a, what do they call, not Chekhov's gun. Yeah, red herring.
Yeah. And I think this game was marketed strongly around that. Like, I remember some of the images, like the trailer showed, at least the Xbox Gold version was like, it focused in highly on that, like, why is everyone missing? There's a seance or something like that. And I was like, that is, has nothing to do with the overall story that you're going to get. It's literally just like a little homage to what they were doing at one moment in time.
Oh, and the house being built up as like a freaky house or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a totally badass house.
I was going to say, yeah. If anything, the greatest takeaway from this house was that this guy was super loaded and had a great architect. And his construction was amazing. Like, when they moved in, the only thing they had to do was check the wiring on this place. I was like, are you kidding me? This place would be worth millions of dollars. They inherited it, and literally they're like, yeah, even though it was built like in the 1950s, everything is up to code. They were all like future-proof this house. As someone that, you know, owns his own house and looks at it just falling apart and decaying every single day, I'm like, this is the greatest accomplishment in this game. The biggest, like, misbelief is that this house built at this time would be this sturdy and, you know, up to code in the modern day of 1995.
Must be nice.
Must be nice.
I'm renting, paying out the ass, and I'm still watching a decaying house around me.
This house is also falling apart, but that's why it's getting remodeled at the moment.
Okay, so let's start talking about our criticisms and our theories for the game, if you guys. I'm going through my notes here, and I'm like, man, I kind of, when I originally, all right, so, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, obviously my criticisms are, went in looking forward to certain aspects that didn't get delivered. I got something that I still enjoyed, but that doesn't mean that I didn't still want elements of that there. And they do the part, like, my interpretation of some of the side stories, you're going to hear, like, maybe they left them vague, and I mean, the reason I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt is because they put such an emphasis on each generation. Like,
yeah,
your sister, you know the most about, and then your parents, you get a decent amount to see, like, okay, they're having trouble, you know. There's a will they, won't they with the mom and her coworker.
Uh-huh.
That never gets talked about. That story never gets fleshed out. And then there's the uncle, right? Uh-huh. The dad's uncle?
Yes.
And they touch on that even less. So I'll go ahead and jump straight to it. My theory was that the uncle molested the dad. Okay. Was it the dad?
Yes.
That they're...
Yes.
See, it's been like 2 months since we played it. I think that there was an inappropriate relationship that the uncle had, because you do uncover some letters where he's constantly seeking the apology of his family, and his family wants nothing to do with him.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to flesh that out a little bit, because as I tend to do the research, I was like, I mean, it's heavily hinting at that, but is it very, like, explicitly said? No.
Well, no. But, they keep it vague.
Yes. But it does, that incident itself is actually funny, is interesting, I would say. Not, I don't know if it's funny or interesting. We'll find out here in just a second. Of it, like, it locks everything into a time and place of the incident. It looks like with the uncle, was he starting to develop a relationship with his nephew? It's left really vague, and just because of the subject matter of the game itself, I kind of tend to the side of nothing really happened, but the family really freaked out about it. Like, it's heavily implied that the uncle was gay because he was a single bachelor in the late 50s, 60s, didn't have any children. That's why the house was left to the nephew. But something was happening or was starting to happen in the November of 1963. The son fixates on...
So maybe they found out he was gay or something.
Yes, and like I said, they just reacted in that way because people at that time were reacting to family members like that. So I think it's more... I always viewed it as that, but it's funny that maybe because of all this trauma in the family, this is when the... let's just call him the dad. His dad starts to distance himself from his son. The son gets fixated on the JFK assassination, which took place at the exact same time of, 1963, I think. Is that right? Oh my God. I can't believe I don't know that. Okay. So all that happens. And then Mike hinted at it.
There's this month, wasn't it?
Yeah. November, yeah, it was right before Thanksgiving.
22nd?
Yeah, I think that's right. That sounds right.
It's the anniversary.
So his career of writing books gets fixated on this particular month and time for some reason. And like it's hinted like that the dad's dad disapproved of him writing these books this specific time. He's like, why are you always fixated on this time? You're just using it because of your personal issues that happened at this time.
So your argument is he came out in November.
Yes. And like I said, and that's when.
Do you think the dad's gay then? I don't know why him coming out would have such an impact on a
young...
No.
The uncle came out in.
Or that's what I meant. Like, think the uncle coming out? I don't think that the uncle coming out at that time would have made such a big impact on the kid.
I don't think it's as simple as he was coming out. I think it was maybe the family realized he was gay at that time and they were worried about the close relationship he had with his nephew.
And him being suddenly shut out in November.
Yeah, okay. that's where he grows the attachment to that time frame. And then, like,
but
I said,
it never seemed like the dad had a positive outlook with his uncle.
It doesn't. His reaction to his uncle is never really mentioned, as far as I could tell. Playing in the game, it's not like he. We don't get. So that's the biggest criticism I have of the game, is we actually lack a lot of reaction from a lot of people that we're investigating. The biggest person being the person you're playing as. The sister. You're playing as Katie. It doesn't add anything to the story to be playing as her. Literally, the solution they came up with for having someone going into someone else's house and snooping around and finding out about their lives was to make it the sister. That's literally, they were like, well, that's kind of a creepy situation to put a stranger into. You know, you could have been a police detective or something like that. It's like, it's still kind of morally weird to go through someone's lives and piece their history together. But they're like, but if it's the sister and she's part of the family, that kind of lessens, if not removes, that moral quandary. Like, literally, that's some development notes they had. That's like, that's the only reason it's you're the sister. And I was like,
that makes me lose so much respect for this. For them to be solving that problem that late on into development. Like, mysteries intrigue me more than almost any other genre, but I feel like in the best ones, there are things that they leave open, but the people who created the stories still have, whether they tell you or not, they know exactly what went down. And that's the way you have to do it. Like, you can't just think like, ooh, this is a creepy element, or else you're going to get loopholes like this. Yeah.
So getting back to, like I said, the my biggest criticism is that the sister doesn't have any reaction to any of the stories. Not just her sister, but she doesn't have any reaction to her story about her dad and uncle. She doesn't have any reaction to the story about her mom. I was like, so I wrote this down. I was like, for the sake of argument, let's say Katie didn't have strong opinions about her sister's story, because you're supposed to be having those reactions to finding out about her sister. I was like, you know, I think the game makes it clear that she is probably happy for her sister, because, you know, she gets to read these journals. But she doesn't react to the potential affair of her mother and very probable abuse of her father by a man that left them in this house. I was like,
they should have added a like dislike element to the letters.
Yeah. Actually, that would make it a very more intensive gameplay. Think about it. Like, you could
a happy sad emoji that you select.
No. You could kind of do like what BioShock did. You could play the morally righteous side, or you could play the monster side.
But then you're getting into ground that we
But
joked about earlier, where you're going to be enabling.
But think about that,
another generation of hate.
But like I said, that's think about it as far as a game goes. It gives it a mechanic, something to do. And I was like, that would be it. But this game was developed in 17 months, so there's no way they could have like made the two options and recorded all that audio and done the different stuff. But I think it would have been really cool, like I said, and it further just sheds light on the fact that you being the sister means nothing as far as playing the game goes.
They might be onto something if they do a prequel, a Gone Abroad. Explain all the... If they pull like a Golden Sun where you switch the perspective to the other player. So then we get all of the narrative of the sister.
But
might be something.
I was going to say, but we get the narrative of the sister. She tells us all about, like, you know, the parents reacting and why she had to take off.
No, I mean the other sister.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
I think
it's
funny.
And you have to explore the elements of why she left.
Well, I think she just left after she graduated college or something.
Yeah, she just went on vacation.
Yeah, she just went on vacation. She's like,
I
don't says you guys.
That's what they said.
I'm
I think it's funny
a
how
whole
many
other story.
How many letters this family writes.
They
just leaves.
they are a family that's all about writing notes and you know, putting notes in funny places and.
Dear daughter, you're grounded and confused. Get out. But don't, because you're grounded. Like, why would you write that down?
I think it's a family that's never at home at the same time.
Or the house is so big, they just can't find each other.
Yeah,
so
that's probably the
notes.
Bigger places. They have to leave notes for each other. Be like, I think I saw you, but I was like, you know, like taking the mystery route from the closet to the basement, like to do the laundry.
It's ironic because I made Angela go through over the garden wall with me.
And
there is a woodpecker hitting the window.
Idiot.
Shoo! Shoo! Okay.
That's not wood.
So the episode that we stopped on was that episode where it's John Cleese and he keeps thinking that his... mansion's haunted.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah,
then you
yeah.
find out it's because his mansion's so big that it's two mansions two people are living in.
So
that construction workers they messed up. Why'd they do that?
So I just spent some time criticizing it. I am gonna give the game like I think its strongest point. And this game nails the time frame it is in perfectly.
Oh, yeah. You could tell the people that made it lived it.
Yes. like they said, all the great like references to the music of the time, the games of the time. And I also think the story kind of fits into the way that the times were changing at that time. That's just what I was like. I was like, yeah, you know, this is where I will say, as someone that grew, you know, was born in the 80s, grew up through the 90s and stuff like that. This is a time frame when people started to be a lot more, I'll just say it, human towards people that were gay. It started to not be the terrible reactions that I think that the story is trying to tell, like the 60s, that was the terrible reaction with the uncle, like disowned by the family and stuff like that. In the 90s, it was a little more people were still...
Well, yeah, this was fresh off of the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah, and the big reference about don't ask, don't tell in military policy with Lonnie.
Her
because,
being closed off after she...
Yeah, because she was going into the military. Like I said, I think it did a really good point of that. It, like, you know, it still showed that people were a little more accepting. Like I said, I think that's the one thing the sister is there for, is to show that she's accepting of her sister. And that, you know, the parents are reacting the way they are. They're like talking about getting her therapy and being confused and stuff like that. But they also had to come to grips that their own relationship was falling apart. It looks like that's why they're gone from the house. It was an emergency retreat for them.
Emergency murder.
I was so bummed that they didn't get into that more, because I was expecting it to get to the point where, like, they both agreed they were going on this retreat that they didn't actually go on. Because it seemed like the husband kept beating it in, like, we're doing this. But the story kept going more and more towards her and her coworker.
Yeah, so that's the question is the dad reacting to they had already had the affair and he was trying to patch things back up, or was he trying to do this before the affair happens? Which do you think, Mike or and Samantha?
Oh, I'm going darker. Well, okay. I feel like they were already done.
Oh.
I wouldn't even say that they, like, she fooled around with him. I just think that it was already over based on what you do find.
Uh-huh.
And that I didn't see her going to that retreat, especially with the language.
Especially alive. I'll shoot
I wasn't
going to
go that dark.
This game. The dad killed the mom.
I'm pretty sure nobody killed anyone in this game.
Murder.
Despite the marketing.
You know that, yeah, that pentagram? That was real blood.
Murder at the couple's retreat. The dad murdered the mom in the bathtub and then put hair dye all over the place to confuse everyone.
I'm always going to be, anytime I hear couples retreat or marriage therapy, all I can think of is The Simpsons and going, Queen of the Hoppies.
Queen of the Hoppies.
Oh, well, I think that that was like a preemptive group counseling before the affair happened. But like I said, that's the fun thing about this game, is it does open itself to interpretation.
In kind of a lazy way, yes.
Yeah. All right. So anybody else got anything to really, you know, criticize or praise on the game?
Man, I feel so strange about it, because what we got was, it was nice, but like I really wanted spooky.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed.
I really wanted a mystery. I don't feel as like shortchanged as I did with Edith Finch.
Oh God.
But
and it was that exact same feeling. It was like you finish the first chapter and the book's over.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, there's so much more that you have to go over.
Yeah. But what was I going to say?
I think we probably need to do Edith Finch finally.
Yeah, we keep alluding to it, but
it's
the game we all hated so much that we didn't think it would be entertaining enough to talk about.
It lives rent-free in our minds forever.
And on my hard drive. Oh, I was going to say, for me, the game is like, it's... I almost kind of, I'm looking over my notes here again, sorry. I think it's forgettable. it's you know, the game had a good story, but the lack of mechanics and the lack of anything to do in the game kind of just makes it like, oh, okay, that was fun. Like, it's sad that there's an achievement for beating the game in less than a minute, because you can do it on the Xbox. Wow. Yep. And I'm just going to ask Mike.
How?
You can go right to under the stairs and then get the key and go right up to the attic.
You're kidding.
No. It's an achievement on the Xbox. Like, I don't know if I think I was going to, and I was just like, I don't care.
I mean, Josh, it'll only take you a minute.
I know, but still. And I got
less than.
I got to ask, because, you know, we often do our consumer reports editorials about whether or not a game is worth the money it costs to buy it. I got it for free with my Xbox Game with Gold, so I was like, okay, that was fine. Because this game
How
is
much
like
did we pay?
2 hours remember. Tops, right? Did anyone have spend more time with it than that?
No, it was no. Like 2 to 3.
Yeah.
I think it took me 3 because I picked up every goddamn item in the game.
Yeah,
because
you were...
Anything that flashed that I could interact, you better believe I interacted.
I did that at the beginning, and then I gave up because it just seemed like nothing mattered.
Yeah.
You made the right call, because let me tell you, there was nothing that ever changed.
I just imagine it's like going through your house and just shaking all of your items, picking them up and throwing them somewhere.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
That
Mike
should have been our first Let's Play. Me playing this game. Hey, there's a toothbrush.
I was going to say, did anybody
probably get... Probably just a toothbrush, but we got to make sure.
Did anybody get the secret ending of the game?
The murder ending?
No. There's a secret ending where you get the... like secret audio recording of the cat's diary.
Okay, I thought yeah. I really
yeah,
thought
you should,
say diarrhea.
You should look that up on YouTube if you want to. It's I actually did that on the first playthrough, like back in 2016, 2017, and I remember being like, I can't believe I wasted my time doing that. It
was it just meowing or?
Yes, it was just meowing, and I was like, that is. That is ridiculous. It's by the actress that's doing the voice of the sister telling all the stories. So it's
meow,
exactly.
Meow,
but it goes on meow, for like 2.5 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Meow,
oh, God. Well, now that we have the secret ending for this episode, I think everyone's ready to say goodbye, I believe. I'm going to say goodbye.
Meow.
Bye. God, that's going to be so awful to edit. We'll see you next time, folks. Please stop.
That's how Ruby meows.
Please stop.
She's got that alley cat howl.
Meow.
I'm probably summoning her right now.
Okay, that's done.